Once again to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been a major influence in my life in terms of realizing how to deal with situations. And one of the very first verses I ever learned around the dinner table with my parents, is the first psalm, the first verse. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the kind of person the proverb says a mocker is, Lord, help us to realize we all have those tendencies. Lord, help us to deal with those tendencies in our lives and to know how to deal with others who have those tendencies in their lives. Lord, teach us from your book. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're using the New American Standard, the English Standard Version, it's going to say scoffer every time my translation, the NIV, says mocker. If you're using the King James, it's going to say scorner, but they're all going to be pretty consistent. Proverbs starts out with a section about how important it is to get wisdom from God. This is Proverbs chapter 1. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Proverbs makes it very clear that God wants his people to be discerning. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to have understanding. Proverbs makes it very clear that God is continually giving us opportunities to grow in our understanding of how life works, of how relationships work, of what we need to do to have the kind of positive, encouraging, loving relationships God wants us to have. And Proverbs makes it very clear that if we continue to live the lifestyle that Proverbs would describe as that of a mocker or a fool or the simple, it is a deliberate choice that we have made not to listen to all the ways that God is trying to speak to us. You've heard me say a number of times that when a verse is in the New Testament or the Old Testament, we need to pay attention to it. If it's there twice, we need to really pay attention to it. But if it's there three times, you ought to mark it down. And the next one is in Proverbs and in James and in 1 Peter. Proverbs says, he, God, mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. James 4:6 and 1 Peter 5:5 quote this as, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, I started out with saying there are two basic groups in the book of Proverbs. There are the wise, who are the humble, who are the righteous. And there are the fools, who are the proud, who are the wicked. And in the little diagram I had, scoffers or mockers are just a little bit off to the side of fools, and I guess I just call them fools on steroids. It's the fool taken to the extreme. And that's what Proverbs talks about. And when he talks about a mocker, he's talking about a person who is not humble, who is not righteous, who is not wise. And it says God will mock the proud mocker, but he will show his grace and his favor to the humble. Probably the most definitive statement in Proverbs about what a mocker is in chapter 9. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The thing that identifies a mocker is their refusal to accept correction. Now, that's the mark of a fool, but with a mocker, it goes farther, because whenever you correct a mocker, you're going to find yourself being insulted. You're going to find themselves coming back at you. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. You can tell the difference between a righteous man and a wicked person by how they take correction. And if they don't take correction and instead attack you, they've identified themselves as wicked. Now, Proverbs said something that I struggled with for a while. It says, do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. And I was coming from the place of studying the New Testament, and it said very clearly, if your brother sin against you, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And my first response was, no, wait a minute. The Old Testament is contradicting the New, because we're told to rebuke people when they sin against us. But there's an exception in Matthew 7, and I'll show it to you later. And basically, if you have dealt with somebody, and every time you try to correct them, what you get is a whole bunch of stuff thrown right back at you, and then they're your enemy. Proverbs says, don't rebuke them anymore. Don't do it. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. A wise person wants to know what he's doing wrong. A mocker sure doesn't. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord, we were talking about that 3-4 weeks ago. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowing and understanding people and relationships goes back to the fear of the Lord and knowing who God is. For through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Proverbs is full of statements that says, if you receive instruction, if you receive correction, you will become wise, and your wisdom will play out in all sorts of ways that are beneficial to you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. Becoming a mocker is self-destructive, and Proverbs is very blunt about that. And what I've done is just list every verse about a mocker in the book of Proverbs and then go to the New Testament. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. It starts in childhood. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easy to the discerning. If you have the attitude of a mocker, you can spend all sorts of time trying to learn and grow and become wise, and you go nowhere, because you reject what you need to hear because it says you're wrong. Fools make a mock. Fools mock at making amends for sin. Fools and mockers are tied closely together. And mocking the idea that we need to make amends for sin marks you as a fool, but goodwill is found among the upright. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Mockers really don't like to hang around with people who have wisdom, because wise people will show them that they're not being wise. Whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. This next one is interesting. Flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. You notice it doesn't say the mocker will learn anything. It says if you flog a mocker, the simple will learn from what happened to him. It doesn't say the mocker will learn anything. Rebuke the discerning, and they will gain knowledge. A corrupt witness mocks at justice, and the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. Penalties are prepared for mockers, and beatings for the back of fools. Proverbs would say repeatedly that a mocker will not accept correction, so the only way they'll learn is through something actually physically happening to them. Wine is a mocker, beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray by them is not wise. Another one that's fascinating. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. So when a mocker is punished, it may not help them in the least, but the simple will learn from what happened to the mocker. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. Mockers are usually angry people, at least underneath, and they're proud people. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. If you have constant contention, there's usually a mocker in the center of it, and if they leave, the contention stops. The schemes of folly are sin, and people detest a mocker. You want people to really like you? Don't be a mocker. Mockers stir up a city, but the wise turn away anger. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. And I think that's a way of saying that a child who mocks his parents is going to have a pretty horrible death because he didn't learn wisdom. Now, all of us are in the process of God trying to make us like Jesus. We're all in that process. The moment we accept Christ as our Savior, God starts working on us. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. And as in Proverbs, what God is trying to do is to teach us truth so that we will be wise. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Now there's a process, and I referred to it from Luke 17, in Matthew 18, about how you're supposed to deal with sin in the church. If your brother sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. One of the most ignored verses in Scripture. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, I'm not going to preach on that passage. I'm just going to say that's the pattern. And what troubled me for a number of years as a pastor was, why trying to correct certain people never brought anything good. And then I went to Proverbs, and it said, point blank, no exceptions, do not reprove a mocker. And I said, well, where in the New Testament do you find that sort of advice? Matthew 7, the first verse gets quoted and misapplied, judge not that you be not judged. And then Jesus says, take the log out of your own eye before you try to take that speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye. And then when you've got the log out of your own eye, you'll see clearly enough to take the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye. It doesn't say, don't try to take it out. It says, make sure you're ready first. And then it says this, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What in the world has that got to do with going to people and telling them that there's something wrong in their life? Now, when we think of dogs, we think of cuddly, furry creatures, and we have them in our houses and all of that. When the Jews thought of dogs, they thought of scavengers. Most of the dogs they encountered, not all, but most of them, were wild dogs that hung around the villages, ran through the garbage, and they were dangerous, and they were hungry. And if you talk to a Jewish person, the two most unclean animals were usually the pig and the dog. So he's putting quite a label here. And what he's saying is, don't give something that is sacred to pigs or to dogs. Because if you do, they're going to trample them, and then they're going to turn and tear you to pieces. And I frankly think that's the New Testament version of do not rebuke a mocker. There is no time when you open yourself up more to being attacked than when you go to someone and, if you do it in love, try to correct them. And with certain people, if you try to correct them, you're going to immediately get attacked. And so Proverbs says, don't rebuke a mocker. And Jesus said, don't open yourself up to being attacked by people who are going to attack you. They're not going to listen to what you say because of who they are, and they're going to go after you after you say something to them. There are some other verses I could read, but Titus 3:10. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. One of the things that I struggled with a lot about what should I be doing with somebody who's leading a reasonably good Christian life, but you can't talk to them. You can't tell them about the things in their life that are wrong. Do you start the process in Matthew 18 and follow it through to kicking them out of the church just because they can't get along with people? What do you do? And I came to the conclusion, and I hold it pretty strongly, that there are certain people that the Bible would label that way that you don't rebuke. You just avoid them. You don't get into confrontations with them until they do something that's bad enough that you have to do something, and then you do something because they're not going to learn from words. Some things to remember. Mockers refuse to accept correction and hate and insult those who try to correct them. When somebody tells me I'm wrong, Do I have to tell them how bad they are immediately? Do I have to open my mouth and point out all their faults? And do I carry a grudge in my heart that says, well, this can't be a good person because he said such and such to me? Or do I appreciate the fact that they had the nerve to talk to me? Even if I don't agree with what they said, do I appreciate them for their effort? And sometimes, in my case, a lot of times, they're going to be right, and we need to listen. Mockers cause quarrels and dissension. It just takes one person like this to keep things in an uproar. Mockers do not learn from verbal correction, so rebuking them verbally is to be avoided. Now, if you've rebuked 8 people and they all seem to get after you, maybe they're not all mockers. Maybe you have a problem with how you do it. But if you can talk to people, and most of them receive you well, but there's one or two that just always get angry, then don't try to correct them, unless it's something serious enough to bring discipline. Now, when we sin, God reproves us through the Holy Spirit. I've told this story for years. The lady who called me up and said, Dan, I can't possibly be a Christian. She'd accepted Christ at our dining room table about 4 weeks before. I said, why not? She said, I sin more now than I ever did. Well, I wasn't exactly looking for that. Thought for a minute, said a quick prayer, and then asked, are you doing sinful things now that you've never done before? Are you doing things you've been doing all your life, only now you feel really guilty when you do them? She thought for a minute. She said, it's the second one. I said, you're a Christian. That is what's going to happen when you accept Christ. The Holy Spirit is going to convict of sin. And God is going to convict us through his word, which is one of the reasons we need to be in the Word of God. We're going to read a verse and it's just going to smack us right upside the face. Now, when we refuse to accept that, he usually sends someone to rebuke us. And frankly, being rebuked is never pleasant, but Proverbs says if you're a wise person, you receive it gladly. Because it's God saying to you, I've been trying to talk to you, and you haven't been listening. And if we do not accept correction when rebuked, and especially if we then go after the ones that have rebuked us, we identify ourselves as mockers who refuse to learn apart from punishment. Then wise people in general and wise leadership will avoid rebuking the mocker until they do something that obviously deserves punishment because they have recognized that this person has a flaw in their relationship with God and they refuse to accept correction. And trying to correct them just makes them angrier and angrier and angrier and benefits no one. When something is done that can't be ignored, that is obvious, then you do something. You don't just say something. I go through all of this and I say to myself, is this beneficial? And I hope it is. We need to learn wisdom in how we deal with each other. And if we have tendencies this way, we need to get alone with God and get some things straightened out. If we have these kinds of people in our lives, we need to go to the book of Proverbs and realize what to do and how to do it. Because God is committed. He is committed to transforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. And it can be easy if we accept correction and accept rebuke, and it's not real easy, but it can be easier, or he can have to go to the hard stuff. And maybe we won't accept anything until we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we are saved as one escaping through the flames. And frankly, that doesn't sound pleasant, and I can't make it pleasant no matter what I do with it. So we either learn and change, or God keeps working on us, and the final thing he'll do is at the judgment seat of Christ to conform us to the image of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, all of us were born with a sinful nature. All of us were born with foolishness in our hearts. None of us wanted correction. And yet, Lord, you're trying to make us into the image of Jesus. Lord, help us to listen and learn and grow. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.